James, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Alex. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, not too bad. Now, got quite a few numbers cracked out for us yesterday as we looked at the report for the last quarter of 2020. How are we looking in terms of stats? It looks relatively positive, right?
Well, I mean, it's definitely good to see positive GDP numbers, right? And especially GDP number growth, where you see two consecutive three-plus quarters. I mean, that's you just typically don't see that kind of growth for Australia, which is again, a very positive reflection on the type of recovery that we've had. Except if you look at it from an annual basis, right, we're still kind of in the negative. We haven't fully recovered from coronavirus. I mean, that's still problematic.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, from what I can see, there's been, you know, quite a relatively good growth in the economy in general, but GDP still, we're still, you know, we've risen by about 3%, right? But we're still quite low. But we spoke last week about, you know, things like housing prices continuing to increase. So what kind of, you know, issues is that going to cause?
Well, I mean, we talk about these types of recoveries we observe, whether they're V-shaped recoveries or W type of recoveries. And we come up with all these different kinds of letters. One of the things that we concern ourselves with is a K-shaped recovery, where you have a real split in who is really feeling the benefit of the recovery and who feels lagged behind. And we're seeing that kind of globally, where certain industries, certain people, certain sectors are really recovering very nicely from low coronavirus levels, and others are kind of being left behind. And we see that on the housing front and on the wage front. Housing prices have gone up a lot. And we actually talked about that last week, unsurprisingly. But unfortunately, wage growth is stagnant. So we're getting this kind of split, which can be quite dangerous.
And I mean, one of the things that they kind of boasted about in the press yesterday was, you know, the economy grew by 3%, and there was over 300,000 new jobs created. But, you know, JobKeeper has been cut off now. We're in March, so it's ending. So do you think that we're possibly going to see the rate of unemployment grow now that, you know, businesses, because everyone was kind of saying, you know, oh, we've done so well, we've kept everyone out of the, you know, out of the red, I guess, in terms of, you know, people losing jobs and everything, but all of that kind of support has been cut off. So I don't know, what are we going to kind of see now?
Well, we have to be very careful with this, right? I mean, if we take a look again at pre-coronavirus unemployment levels versus what the unemployment rate is now, we've had a slight improvement over the past couple of months, but nothing to what it was pre-coronavirus. You're looking at another 2-3% improvement. And if JobKeeper is keeping a lot of people afloat and that JobKeeper program goes away, you're going to start to see the unemployment numbers rise. And businesses are essentially hoarding cash, as are households, to protect against, you know, a shock where the economy does slow down, there isn't available capital, and people are going to tighten their belts. And that can be a very negative outcome for everybody involved.
Yeah, I was going to say, hoarding cash is something that, you know, this did kind of look at, you know, especially households as well. But I wanted to focus on businesses not spending. What kind of negative things can we see from that?
Well, we know each time businesses spend, right, that's very good for the economy because there's this multiplier effect with money, right? So it cycles through the economy and it's used in multiple various ways. And that leads to growth, not only in terms of GDP, but it leads to things like wage growth as well. When businesses start to slow down, start to hoard cash, start spending on development and on future growth opportunities, labor is the first thing that gets hurt. So you'll see people starting to get laid off. Innovation stops happening. Liquidity dries up. It's harder and harder for people to borrow and lend. That's very, very bad for the economy. In fact, when we think about true risk metrics in terms of the potential worst case scenarios for the economy, it's always about liquidity and that access to capital.
Yeah. And so just quickly before we finish off, do you think that we might see, if this kind of hoarding continues, yeah, cash hoarding, I should say, continues for businesses and for households, because as you said, it is quite negative, you know, all round. Do you think that we'll kind of see some kind of government incentives to try to get people spending more?
That's the whole point, and that's kind of what government has recently done ever since 2008. 2008, governments around the globe realized that the economic systems are fragile when liquidity dries up, and it's necessary for them to supply that liquidity if it takes place. Now, they've done a lot of that. It's been a lot of liquidity that has improved, that has kept businesses afloat, that have kept people in jobs. Honestly, the most critical thing, and again, it always comes back to this, is the ability for us to open up borders, get back to some degree of normalcy, right? That's really what we're going to see, a proper reopening of the economy. And the closer we get to that, the better it is for everybody involved.
James, as always, lovely to chat with you this morning.
Thanks, Alex.